Take your Bibles now. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I just want to center our thoughts, focus our thoughts on the idea of not losing Christ at Christmas. Not losing Christ at Christmas. This is an amazing story. It's a true story, of course. It's biblical. It's the Bible. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 40. And the child grew, that's Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We're dealing here with that humanity of Christ in that particular verse. But he goes on to say, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They went at the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I'm going to stop there and just tell you a little story very quickly. I may have shared this with you before. But I remember one time we used to always, when our son Phil was just a little fellow, about 4 years old, three or four, I was a youth director at Fellowship Baptist Church. I'll be preaching there this coming Sunday, be going back there after many years and preaching there. But I remember one night we all got down to the restaurant, 30 or 40 teenagers, and normally our son was with them. And so I asked my wife, where's Phil? She said, I don't know. Where is he? I said, well, I thought you had him. Well, I thought you had him. Well, we thought maybe the young people had him. And so we asked around, and they said, we don't have him. And usually somebody would bring him. So I got in my car, drove about 5 or 6 miles back to this big auditorium, long shotgun type auditorium. It would seat about 800 to 1,000 people. Finally went on in the building, went in there, and he was sound asleep on about the 10th or 12th pew. And somehow, in all of that commotion, we had left him there. I was just thankful that he didn't wake up until I woke him up. And then we went back down there. I still don't know how in the world did that happen. But look at this. These are pretty well-known folks here. And he's talking about the fact that Joseph and his mother knew it not, in verse 43. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I think sometimes if we're not real careful that we can lose Christ right in the middle of Christmas, right in the middle of what should be a holy time, a good time. We have a lot of parties. I'm about partied out. I'm still sober, but I'm about partied out. But we have a lot of parties, and we enjoy those things, and don't misunderstand me. I enjoy being invited. I'm glad that they do invite us. But we have that. We exchange gifts. We get all wrapped up in shopping and wrapped up in wrapping presents and doing all of those kind of things. But ironically, it's during the season that we celebrate the birth of Christ sometimes that we get away from our prayer life, get away from our Bible reading, and get away from our witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ even during that time. Now, we will never lose him in our relationship. Understand that we never lose him in our relationship. What do you mean, preacher? Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's never going to change. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is going to separate us if we're saved from that relationship. So we're not talking about relationship, but we're talking about fellowship. It is the fellowship, the intimacy, the closeness that we lose. And believe it or not, Mary and Joseph went a whole day's journey without the Lord Jesus Christ in their presence and didn't even know it. And when they came back to him, they said, "We have sought thee sorrowfully." We found out and then we realized it, and then we were very sorry that we left you there and didn't realize you were not with us. And let me tell you, when you lose fellowship with God, there's always sorrow. No matter how short the period of time may be that you lose fellowship with God, you leave Jesus out, there's always going to be some sorrow involved in that. You know, the most miserable person in the world tonight, it is not an unsaved person, I don't think. The most miserable, some of them are very miserable, most miserable person in the world, persons in the world tonight, are Christians who are out of God's will, who are backslidden, and who are not right where they should be with the Lord. And they're out of that fellowship. Now, notice in these verses, who lost him? Who lost him? It was those that were the most intimately associated with Jesus Christ that lost him. His foster father, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, those who were so close to him, they're the ones who lost him, intimately associated with him. You say, "Well, I'd never do that. I'm never going to lose my fellowship with God. I'm never going to backslide. It's not going to happen to me." 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Be careful. We think we won't be the one, we won't get out of fellowship, and Jesus may be missing. We don't even know it in our life and in our relationship. Some of the very best saints in all of the Word of God, you and I know them, lost fellowship with God. You had never thought that Noah would have lost fellowship with God. Or Moses, because of something that he did. Or you would never think that David would have. Who would have ever thought that the anointed one of Israel would have gotten out of fellowship with God like David did for a period of time? Samson got out of fellowship with God. Peter, the great and mighty Peter, got out of fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, if they can get out of fellowship with the Lord, as great as they were, you and I can get out of fellowship with him if we're not very, very careful. He could be missing and we would not even realize it. And I can tell you, the closer you try to live to Jesus, the closer you are to him, the more the devil is going to fire at you, and he's going to open up his big guns at you and try to knock you out of the saddle, so to speak. Do you know who the devil would rather ruin in this church than anybody else? Would be me or one of the staff workers, because it would impact the whole church. And he sometimes will load his big guns. And I've been around long enough to know that I've seen missionaries fall, I've seen evangelists fall, I've seen preachers fall, I've seen staff workers fall, I've seen deacons that have had to be disciplined and through the church disciplinary measures. I've seen all of that in these years, more times than I've wanted to see it. Friend, we can. We must be diligent and careful about that. So they lost him. Who? Those who were so intimately close to him. Then when did they lose him? This is ironic. Look at verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." When did they lose him? At one of the great religious celebrations of the whole year, the Passover. And the Passover, ironically, was symbolic of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was going to come and die and pay for their sins. And so it was at the Passover that was symbolic of him that they lost Christ. And I say to you, if we're not careful, we can lose Christ during Christmas. We can get away from the Lord. And not only at Christmas, but any other time, but many times, even at a time like this, we're so busy doing so many things that we can lose Christ in the midst of Christmas. We can also lose him in strange places. We can lose the fellowship with Christ with a Bible under our arm. There are a lot of backslidden people who carry a Bible under their arm. Just because you have a Bible under your arm does not mean you're right with God. I've known people who carried a Bible religiously that were not right with God. We can backslide with a Bible under our arm. And what happens sometimes is we get to looking at the Bible sort of argumentatively and theologically, and we get to looking at it a little bit more like it's just a textbook. But when we read this book, it ought to touch our hearts. Before we ever start reading it, we ought to say, God, open up your word, enlighten me, stir my soul, stir my heart. Let the word of God be powerful in my life. Let me not just read it like another novel or another book, but let me read the word of God in such a way that the Spirit of God puts his hand on it and unveils the truth, and that truth moves me and changes my life because I've spent time in the word of God, and the precious, and I say that it is the precious word of God, the precious book, no book like this book. We can lose fellowship with God while working on Christmas music. We can use fellowship with God while doing a lot of things related to Christmas programs even, if we're not careful. A little girl was going to make her daddy some slippers. And she wanted to make him some slippers for Christmas. And normally she would sit on his lap and hug him and kiss him and talk to him, and he'd read her a story. But she decided she wanted to make those slippers, and having decided that, she would not sit in his lap at night. She'd take off and go work on that a little while. And after finally a few days went by and the time came, she gave them to him, not knowing that down in his heart, he was thinking, I'd rather have her sitting in my lap every night and hugging me and kissing me and loving on me and me telling her a story than for her to go off and fix some slippers. And that is just a very simple illustration of the way God wants us to be with him. We may be so wrapped up in fixing the slippers that we forget to hug him and love him and let him know who we are and our relationship with him as his children and how much we really love him. Jesus would rather that we sit at his feet than sing in the choir. Jesus would rather that we kneel down and have private, intimate prayer life than for us just to worship, come to church and worship. I'm not against coming to church and worshiping. And I'm not against people singing in the choir. But let me tell you, there's absolutely nothing that can take the place of our being close to the Lord and our intimacy with the Lord. We must have that time. We must spend time with the Lord. Now, how did they lose him? Look at verse 44. How did they lose him? This is interesting. So like the story I told you about our son. But they supposing him to have been in the company. Underscore that word supposing. But they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They couldn't find him, but they thought he was with them. They thought he was in the crowd. Let me ask you something tonight. Is he with you? Are you sure? Have you checked up lately, in all honesty, just to see if you are as close to God as you ever were? If you're not as close to God as you were at one time before in your life, you in the same degree in relationship to that are backslidden. So it would be true with me. We must be close to the Lord. We need to check up once in a while. Does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness to you that y'all are close? You are close, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Do you sense that? Do you realize that? Do you recognize that in your life? We can come to church, we can take notes, we can tithe, we can give, we can read our Bible, we can sing songs and do all of those things and still not be in sweet, close fellowship with God and not even know it, not even realize it, not even give it a whole lot of thought. Maybe it would be good to give it some thought tonight. In our lives, in every relationship, they supposing him to have been in the company. They thought he was there, but he wasn't. That was his mother and his foster father. They thought Jesus was with them, but he wasn't. He wasn't there in that closeness and sweetness. And I think sometimes that we can get away from God if we're not careful, get away from the power of God, and not realize it. Samson said, I was weak and everything and all of that. And he said, I didn't even know it. I wasn't even aware of it. But he got a haircut in the devil's barbershop, amen? But he said, I didn't even realize what was going on. The church at Laodicea, they really thought they were something. They really thought, I'm all right. We're a good church. We're all right. Everything's all right. And yet God said, you're not. You're not. Read about that Laodicean church. They were lukewarm. And God said, you're not right. And they knew it not. Wouldn't it be good once in a while, every once in a while, just to take inventory and ask the question, in all sincerity, is God really vibrant in my heart? I mean, is he vibrant in my heart? Is he the one I'm living for? Is he the cause? Is he the purpose? Is he the main thing? Do other things distract me from him and pull me away from him? Not only seasonal things, but at any time in my life, anything. It's interesting to notice, he asks the question, how did they get away from Jesus? How did they get away from Jesus? One step at a time. One step at a time in the wrong direction, step after step after step, not even realizing it, a whole day's journey away from Christ. One step at a time. And sometimes that's what we do. That's how you get away from the Lord. Doesn't have to be some big blowout all of a sudden. We think it's a blowout. We think it's, oh, somebody shot somebody, or somebody committed adultery, or something like that. But listen, it's step by step, so slowly, so easily, without even realizing it. And the next thing you know, we're one day's journey away from Jesus, and we don't even know it. And that's when we need real God-given revival. And we need to recognize sometimes, hey, I need revival. I need it. I need to get things right with God. I need to walk with him. I really need revival. One step, whatever it may be. Some sin, some habit, some practice, some attitude of jealousy or envy or unforgiving heart. How do we get away from him? One step at a time, we can get away from the Lord. Now, where did they find him? Where did they find him? Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Where did they find him? Right where they left him. Right where they left him. And that's where you'll find Christ, and I'll find Christ when we get away from him. Where have we left him? As I mentioned earlier, maybe our prayer life. We've backed up on it. Maybe our reading the Bible, we've left him there. Maybe our witnessing, we've left him there. We're not doing it on purpose like we used to do. Just a number of different possibilities, and the Spirit of God, I'm sure, will speak to your heart if there's something he wants to speak to your heart about it. But where have we left him? And where are we going to find him? We're going to find him right where we left him. If we left him and not reading our Bible and having a good prayer life and that intimate time with Christ, that's where we need to go back and say, God, I'm going right back there. because I want that intimacy with you. I want that fellowship. And I want to know that you are with me. How can you lose Jesus? How in the world can we lose Jesus? We never lose that relationship, thank God for that, but we can lose that fellowship. So what do we need to do if we lose any bit of that fellowship? Whatever it may be, we need to go back right where it was that we lost him. And even if it's right in the middle of Christmas in this season, and we have somehow sort of left Jesus out of it, greed gets in there, and personal desires and a number of other things can come in there in our lives. I didn't get what I wanted. We gave them this, and they didn't give us that, and last year this, and last year that, and we gave them something that cost more, and they didn't give us something that cost that much, and I don't know, all kinds of things can come in there. We need to keep Christ in Christmas. We really do. Not only in Christmas, but in every day of our life. Lord, help us to walk in fellowship with you. Help us not to lose Jesus. In the midst of our troubles, the world, conditions, everything, help us not to lose our sweet, sweet fellowship with Jesus. If you do, friend, you're not going to be a happy camper. You're not going to be until you get back to that preciousness, that sweetness, and that relationship and walk with him that maybe you don't have anymore that you once had. May God help us to desire it, to hunger for it, to thirst for it, to pray for it, and to repent and do something about it if God speaks to us about it. Let's stand, please.